even though Pastor's not here this morning, and so you folks that may be new this morning, Pastor McNally is away, and he asked me if I could fill in and preach this morning, so I am. But I'm using the pastor method of the message on the iPad, so it's a risk sometimes. But it's there, so we'll see how well things work out. James chapter 1 is what Gary read from earlier, so you could turn there in your Bible, James 1 and verse number 17. And the verse that I asked Gary to read says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, and with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So we're going to do something different today than something you would have expected to happen next week. Because next week is June 19th, and what's next week? Okay, so we're going to have a Father's Day message today. So I need all the fathers to stand up. And then I need a volunteer to come. Come on up, guys. No, that's right. I already have a couple people coming, so that I asked ahead of time. But here, inside this bag. I don't want to try to take that bag out of that bag. I should have brought two bags like this. Here, just grab those ones. I'm afraid that you're going to hurt yourself. So just hand one of those out to every person that's standing. And all you dads, stay standing, please. And once you get your gift, you may sit down. And I think I have one in here that I'll use as we talk about it. So a couple weeks back, Pastor, while they're handing those out, and I have a couple more up here if you need them. Remember, Pastor asked for a suggestion on what to give out for Father's Day. Last year or one year past, he gave out the hair drain cleaner. And well, now he doesn't have to worry about it, because I told him on Wednesday night, I said, Pastor, I said, I got an idea for a gift. Matter of fact, I'm going to give it out a week early. And I'll even preach a Father's Day message. So you didn't have to preach a Father's Day message next week. So he's off the hook on it for a gift, and for a message. But, and by the way, I'm not as nice as Pastor. On Mother's Day, right, every lady gets a flower. Well, you don't get a screwdriver if you're not a father. And if you're want to get one for your dad who's not here, no, we don't do that either. You got to be here, and you go, that's it. No, I'm not a nice guy. Did we run out? Okay, we got more. Here, put them in that bag so it doesn't fall apart. Just drop it in there. Okay, we're coming. I think we got enough. We should have enough. So you have to be here. So every dad's going to get a gift today. And unlike the verse in James chapter 1, it may or may not be a good gift. It definitely is not a perfect gift. It definitely did not come down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow. Matter of fact, it came from, where do you think an orange screwdriver would come from? It came, no, it didn't. I probably could have gotten it cheaper at Big Lots, huh? But it came from, Home Depot. And anybody that received it today, I want you to hang on to it. And this is one of these things that you don't have to put away and hide, because the whole message today is gonna be about, yes, we had enough? Okay. Don't ask me if I got any extras for you to take home, because we know the rules. Because not only are you going to be able to use this tool at home, but this tool is going to remind you of you. And I'll explain what I mean as we get through the message. So why don't we start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the message. Father, thank you so much this morning for your goodness to me. Thank you for your goodness to all of us, dear God. Just for your blessings upon us. Thank you for your word, which we can learn from, preach from, for your spirit, which guides us. I pray for your spirit now to calm the hearts of each one who's here and give us attentiveness to what you would have to say through your word, Father. Fill me with your spirit. Guide me as I endeavor to open up your word and preach it this morning. We pray for our pastor who couldn't be here today. We thank you so much for him and for his family. We ask you to bless him as he travels back. Give him safety as he returns back home. And for the entire Fight family who just went through such a sudden loss last week. We just pray for comfort there for all involved. Bless now, Lord, as we look into your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to look at three things. Oh, that's right. Gary said he was going to leave the clicker up here. I should probably get that up here too, shouldn't I? So that I'm ready here. So the Father's gift. Little plan words there. This is my gift to you. But we're going to look at three things about this gift this morning. We're going to look at, first of all, what it does, right? Whenever you pick something, you have to say, what does this thing do? So that's the first thing. We're going to look at, you know, what can this tool do for me? Now, I've taken the wrapping off of mine, and if you decide to take the wrapping off yours, don't leave it in the seat, put it in your pocket. But what can this tool do for me? Well, first of all, it is functional. It is functional in its use. It doesn't just sit in a drawer, at the bottom of a drawer somewhere, and do nothing. It doesn't just sit, because if it did, well, then why even bother having it? So don't just put it down when you get home, or maybe you want to put it in your car. I mean, good place to have it. I don't care. Without realizing its potential, because this tool has potential to it. It's functional. It can do something. And that's the same with fathers. Fathers don't just sit around being lazy, right, dads? You should work. You should accomplish things. Matter of fact, 1 Timothy says what's the verse say? It says, if any provides not for his own, especially those of his own house, he is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Another verse in the New Testament says, if a man shall not work, neither shall he eat. So we should be working. We should be doing things, not just sitting around doing nothing. So dads are functional, are useful, and they need to be. Secondly, this thing is flexible. It's versatile, adaptable, multi-purpose, right? It says right on there. By the way, how many tools in one is this? I know if you can read, you can figure this out, right? So if you haven't figured this out, how do you get six in one out of this thing? So it's got a screwdriver tip on this end that comes out and flips around, right? There's two. Then you take the whole thing out and you flip the whole thing around, and it's got two more screwdriver, different size screwdriver tips, so there's three and four. You say, where's five and six? Well, you take the screwdriver tip out and you get a nut driver, and because these two tips are different sizes, you get two size nut drivers. So that's the six in one. And when I showed it to Pastor said, well, actually, it's a seventh. And I'll see if I can do this right. He takes the thing and he goes, somehow, and he whistles with it. So there, now it's a 7-in-1 tool. So there's your 6-in-1. There's your 6-in-1 screwdriver. And a dad has many different roles as well. They could be simple jobs, right? Some of these are pretty simple and some are a little more complex you could do with this. I mean, simple jobs like driving your car, or a complex job like driving your car on vacation. Are we there yet? Right, those are the more complex ones. I don't know why I just thought of this one, but I'll tell you a story one time. We were driving, of all places, through Pennsylvania, and I think it was dark. I don't remember, but it was a snowy winter time driving through Pennsylvania. I was married at the time, and all of us were together in the car, and we decided to switch drivers. So I was the passenger, and my wife was driving, and it was a bad section of road. This was a bad time. Well, the car starts moving around on the highway. I said, just don't touch the brakes. Just let it ride it out. We'll ride it out, and all of a sudden, now we're going backwards. Okay, here we go. Here we go, Lord. And all of a sudden, boom, into the snowbank, not into a person, into a freshly plowed snowbank with the side of the minivan. So it got most impact as possible. We couldn't have crashed any better. We got pulled out by a tow truck. I had just signed up for AAA probably 2 weeks before. Towed us out. There was a little bow in the side of the panel of the door was pushed in. We drove the rest of the way home. But when we hit, I still remember my son. He says, how did he word it? He says, Mom, look what you did. As if moms can't drive. It's only dads that can drive, But most of the time, it is the dads that do the driving on the trips. But anyway, it could be simple things like going to work every day. Or maybe that's the complex thing. I don't know. Or going to your daughter's dance recital. I'll be going to my granddaughter's dance recital this afternoon. So different things. It's flexible. This tool is flexible, and dads need to be flexible, need to be versatile. I looked up some verses on fathers, and clumped them together. So these verses talk about a dad being patient. If you're familiar, I don't have the verses up there, but those are the verses that say, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, right? That's when they get on your nerves. Don't be provoking. Be patient. Be kind. Be kind with them. They need to give instruction. Many verses in Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Verse 4, hear ye children, the instruction of a father. Chapter 6 and verse 20, keep thy father's commandment. A wise son hears his father's instruction. A fool, Proverbs 15 and verse 5, a fool despises his father's instruction. So by implication, we always use those verses to say, hey, you need to listen. Wait a minute. That implies that the dad is giving instruction, that a dad is giving knowledge, is imparting knowledge, and that should be part of a dad's just a way of life, to be always giving instruction. Anytime. It doesn't have to just be when a kid comes and asks you how do I do my homework, but it should just be a constant thing. As you walk, as you sit down, as Deuteronomy says, as you're walking in the way, we should be just giving instruction to our children. We also give correction. Proverbs 3 and verse 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. And there's going to be times where you need to give correction. A lot different than instruction. Correction is, okay, listen, that is not how this gets done, and you correct them. And there's various ways that you correct your children, but we need to love our children enough to correct them just as a father, just as the Lord does to us. Hebrews 12 and verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Should we not more be rather in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? But again, the implication there is that fathers give correction to their kids, that fathers correct their behavior, correct the way they're going, so that they go in the right way and the right path in life. Versatile. Also, dads need to be tender. Proverbs 4 and verse 3 says, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." So tenderness. Psalm 103:13 says, "Like as a father pitieth his children." So you need to show grace, show compassion, show tenderness to your children as well. Those are the ways of dad, and there's many other ways dads can be flexible, but just some verses that the Bible talks about fathers. And then lastly, fathers sometimes fail. I know I do. If I try to use this tool as a chisel, I might break it. If I tried to use it as a paint scraper to scrape paint off the window, it might work, but I also might break that window. So you need to use the tool in a right way. You need to use the tool for what it's for. And there's many times that I, as a father, try to do things that I can't do very well as a father, and I fail. Matter of fact, there's plenty of things that a child learns from their mother. That was Mother's Day, so I'm not going to go into that. That was a month ago. But a lot more than they do from their father. When my kids were growing up, especially my girls, there are a lot of things they learned from their mom that they're not going to learn from their dad, because it's more of a mom's job than a dad's job. So I just need to be aware that, hey, I'm going to fail at some things if I try. And matter of fact, even some things that I should be doing, sometimes I fail. I mean, just think of the examples in the Bible of some of the first fathers that were in the Bible. How about the first one, Adam and Eve, right? Adam had a son that killed his other son. Like, he must have thought awful, like, man, my kid grew up and ended up, one son slew the other son, and that's awful. How about Abraham? Right, he wasn't that great of a dad. He tried to be, but he wasn't always that that great of a dad. Isaac, Jacob. How about Jacob? Right, he had two sons that fought with each other. Right, I'm sorry. Isaac had two sons that fought with each other. Jacob had a whole family of sons that there was infighting amongst the sons. Noah failed as a father. Solomon, David, even Hezekiah, one of the last great kings of Israel, Hezekiah. He asked God, "God, give me more time on the earth." God gives him 15 more years. He has a son born to him. Manasseh was one of the most wicked kings of all of Israel. So there are times when a dad is going to fail, and realize that, but learn from your failure. Look at all these men who failed in the Bible. Moses failed. Look how many times he failed, and yet he rose up. Again. So, the first thing we do, we look at the tool and we say, what does it do? Well, it's functional. We can use it for things. It's flexible, has many different options. It's a 6-in-1 tool, and sometimes it'll fail if you use it, in the wrong way. Secondly, we want to say, well, what exactly is this thing, right? We know what it does, but what is this? What is this screwdriver? After thinking about what it does, we need to not forget about the tool itself. So first of all, this tool didn't just pop out of nowhere. Somebody designed it. Somebody, figured out, okay, if I can make this hole this big in the center and put this shaft inside, and I could fit different size things in each end and have it click in, and very, somebody thought this ahead of time, right? Handle so big and whatever. So somebody designed this thing. didn't just pop out of nowhere. And dads are designed too. All of us are designed. Psalm 139 and verse 14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You didn't just come about by chance. This screwdriver didn't just come about by chance. It was designed, and God designed you for a specific purpose. He's got a specific purpose in mind when he designed you. Realize that you are designed. All of us here have that specific purpose and that God made for us. This tool is also durable. Right? It's made out of hard metal. It's got, you know, this end is whatever, molded piece of rubber. This tool is durable. It's tough. It's robust. It's hardy. It'll it's very useful. And fathers are made of strong muscles and bones, and God put them together in a marvelous way. And dads should be the strength, and should be the backbone, and should be the strength of a family. Durable. It also, this tool is also, right, as we showed earlier, it's detachable, right? Different pieces come out, and this comes out of here, and so different things, the options come from within the options. And, dads, they sometimes give the shirt off their back, right? They give things away that are part of them. They give away their heart and soul sometimes. The knowledge comes out of their mind to impart to others, especially to impart to young children and older children. You know, my son is 20. How old is my son? He was born in 93, so he's 26 this year. He turned 26 this year. And he still asks me questions, and I still try to help him along with things as he asks me questions, so I can give some of what I have to him. And lastly, this tool doesn't just do things on its own, right? It doesn't just sit there and take screws out. It doesn't just sit there and be a nut driver. It doesn't just do that. No, it's got a hand to hold it, right? I have to put my hand on this thing. I use my left hand. You all know that I'm left. No, some of you know that I'm left-handed and not right-handed. But but this needs a hand to direct it, to empower it, to give it the power. It has no power in itself. And that's the same with a father. A father requires God's hand to hold him, God's spirit to empower him, God's word to guide him. We need to be guided by God and guided. We can't just do it on our own. We can't just be a father on our own. We can't just be a Christian on our own. John 16 and verse 13 says, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So God guides us by his Spirit. Psalm 119 verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Right, how do we go along in life? It's God's word is a lamp unto my feet. So this tool is designed, it's durable, it's detachable, and lastly, it's directed. Directed by somebody, and we need to be directed by the hand, of God. And then lastly, for this tool, we considered what you can do with it. We thought about what it actually is. But now, what can happen to this tool? What can happen to this tool over time? So, to be completely transparent with you about this message, and I'm looking for something else up here. It's somewhere. I'll find it. Up here somewhere. But anyway, to be completely transparent with you, when Pastor first asked about this message, no, I'm sorry, when he first mentioned he was looking for a gift for Father's Day, I was going to suggest this message to him. But then when he asked me to preach this week, I said, forget it. I'm going to use it myself. And but the reason I even knew about this message is that 12 years ago, in another church. I preached a very similar message on Father's Day. And I had given out a gift of a tool that looked like this. And actually, I found the one that I gave out. So when he asked me to preach on short notice, I prayed about it and I said, well, this would be maybe an appropriate message to preach. I really be thinking about it. Let me look it up. So I found the message and I looked at it. Actually, I looked at the message and I said to myself, this is awful. So hopefully it's not as awful as it was the first time I preached it. But I made some changes. And if nothing else, at least your dad's got a screwdriver out of it. But anyway, this is the screwdriver from that message 12 years ago. It looks like it may have been a little more higher quality. I don't know. I think I got it from Lowe's back then and not Home Depot. But whatever the case. Notice some things about this. Now I found the screwdriver. And I put down the clicker. Might have to have Gary to jump in. No, I found it. So this screwdriver over the years has deteriorated a little bit. It's gotten, you know, the handle got dirty, and the Phillips ends are a little worn. You can see that, you can't see it from here, but the Phillips, they're a little corroded and worn, and they probably don't make as good of a lock on a Phillips screw as normally it would have. You know, the shaft, although it clicks now, it may not have that nice, strong, loud clicking sound like this one has. You know, this one seems to be louder than this one, which, you know, because it's worn out a little bit over the years. But it gets deteriorated over time. And you know, being a dad can wear you down too. Let me tell you. Being a father, you can get worn down over the years. You can get worn down, especially by kids that wear you down. Proverbs 17 says, a foolish son is grief to his father. And sometimes kids just don't listen and don't obey, and they can just, wear on you and wear on your patience. You know, the Bible talks about kids that are a calamity and that waste their father, and some of these Proverbs verses. He is a companion of righteous men, shameth his father, and you can just be worn down so much in your duty as a father over time. You can become exhausted over time. This screwdriver is not the same when I first bought it. I actually just went to my tool drawer and I said, I gotta find the screwdriver. Here it is. And it looks good like this then, right? It looks good on the outside, but when I pulled it out, I'm missing the bit. If you can't tell, I'm missing the bit. So the bit from this end is gone. I don't know where it went. I don't know. I didn't bother trying to look for it. Who knows? Maybe I was missing. I needed to. I don't know. It's gone. It, you know, over time, things aren't the same as when you start. You know, as a father, I'm not the same as I was when I was younger. My hair is still pretty much intact. You know, some of you, that's a different case. Even when I first got this 12 years ago, I know I could run faster 12 years ago than I can now. I could hear better than 12 years ago. I know I could definitely see better. Man, my vision is awful, awful, awful. I can't, you know, I have to like, you know, go like this. I have progressive lenses now, and even that isn't perfect. And one side, the eye is nearsighted, the other is farsighted. I had glasses, but man, it's even worse now. I know I memorized more verses than I did 12 years ago. So as a dad, I'm worn down. You know, I just don't have as many things. I mean, think of Isaac when he was, when he was old, right? Isaac, yeah, and he had to give the blessing to his son, right? And because of his eyesight was so bad, the one son tricked the dad by saying, "Yeah, I'm the other son, and you can't tell, you can't see me." He tried to feel him, right? He felt like him because he tricked him with the skins, but why? Because he was worn down over the years. He was exhausted over time. It's normal. It's normal. But you know what? Someday, those of us that have trusted Christ as Savior, those of us that have put their faith in Jesus Christ, that He'll give us that home in heaven. Those of us that have realized that we cannot, no matter how much we try to be a good dad or to be a good person, it's not good enough to make it to heaven. Because Jesus died for my sins, and I trusted Him as my Savior. And because of that, one day I'm not going to have to worry about this body. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." This body, I'm not going to have to worry about it. I'm going to have to worry about how well it works, because in heaven, God's going to give me a new body. God's going to give me, and even though I'm exhausted, and even though I'm worn down, even though I'm worn out, and even though I might be missing some parts, I won't be missing any. When I get to heaven. And then thirdly, another E word here. I'm using the word embraced. You know, some carpenters or some folks that work with tools for a living, they take better care of their tools than they take care of their kids, or they take care of their whatever, because they want those tools to be always in good shape, tip top. They care for them so well. Not like me with this tool, right? I lost part of it, right? So I didn't care for this tool as well as I could have. But the same thing goes with a father. We need to be embraced. We need to be cared for. We need to be, you know, "Oh, I'm too cool. I'm too macho. I don't need anybody. I can take care of myself. You know, I can do anything. I can do it all." Right? Muhammad Ali, "I'm the greatest. You know, I'm just everything." But don't think you're too cool to be comforted by your wife, by a close friend, by your pastor. There's times when you need that. There's times when all of us need that. There's times when all of us need somebody in our life. You know, Genesis 2:24 talks about a man cleaving to his wife, and there's a reason for that word, that God uses that word. So, sure. Now I lost the orange one already. Here it is. So when you take this screwdriver home, dads, and your other folks that didn't get one, well, they're only $3 and some change at Home Depot. So you go buy one for yourself to remind yourself of the message if you want. But actually, you won't find them at Home Depot because I bought them out. I had to get the guy with the ladder to go over to climb up on the shelf to get another box down, and he just gave me the whole box of them. But no, I didn't go to the Torrington one, though, because I wasn't in Torrington. So there are some probably in Torrington. I bought them out of a different Home Depot. Two different Home Depots, because there weren't enough just in one of them. But you know, you can think about, yeah, what this thing does for me. You can think about what it is. You can think about what it can become and apply it to yourself. But lastly, let's all just turn to one more verse in the Bible. If you're in James, it's not too far away. Turn over to the book of 1 John. I guess I have it up here if you didn't want to turn to it or can't find it that fast. But in 1 John chapter 2, John writes, and I'm not going to decipher this entire verse because that would take me till probably my daughter's recital, and I don't want to miss that. So, a granddaughter's recital. But John writes, and he says this, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. I just want to concentrate on some parallels here. So notice, in those three verses, he writes unto little children two different times, he writes unto young men two different times, and he writes unto fathers two different times, or two different phrases right into each. Okay, I'm not going to concentrate on the little children, I'm not going to concentrate on the young men, but notice, when he writes to the fathers, unlike when he writes to the other two, he writes different things to the other two. Right, little children, he says, because your sins are forgiven, and then he says, because you have known the Father. And then for the young men, he says, because you've overcome, and because the word abideth in you. So he says two different things. But the fathers, he says the same thing. Twice. Notice it's the same phrase. And I highlighted it up there. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, fathers, same thing, because you have known him that is from the beginning. That's the last thing I want to concentrate on. The same reason he writes to fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Last week, Pastor preached on 1 John, right? About in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and he talked about that Word, well, I think it was last week, was Jesus Christ was the Word from the beginning. So this is talking about, ye have known him that is from the beginning. Let me ask you this morning, how well do you know him that is from the beginning? How well do you know Jesus Christ? You must first know him in a personal way. You must first know him as your personal Savior, having faith, having placed your complete faith and trust in him. That's the first. That's first base. That's where you start in knowing Jesus Christ. Knowing all these other things about him, his miracles, his parables, his messages, the most important thing for you to know about Jesus Christ is that when he died on the cross and rose again from the dead, he did it for you. He did it for me. That's why he did it. He did it because he loves you so much, that he cares for you so much, and he wants to know you in an intimate, personal way. And if you don't know him in that way, if you're not sure that you know him in that way, then I encourage you, after service today, we'll have two folks down at the front to pray with anybody who wants to pray during the invitation hymn. And if you don't know him, if you're not sure you are going to spend eternity with him, then I encourage you, make sure today we can show you from God's Word how you can know. And if you're already saved, if you already have that gift of eternal life that you accepted, well, how well do you know him that is from the beginning? How well do you know him? Do you thank him for creating you? For making you? Are you constantly guided by his Spirit? Are you being used for him in his service? How well do you really know him who is from the beginning? That's the question I want to leave you with this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for Jesus Christ, who's from the beginning. Jesus Christ, who is God eternal, who's been here forever from the beginning, and yet, though you're eternal, you chose to become man and to live a perfect life and to die on the cross to become our sacrifice, to become the sin for us. Thank you so much for that, dear God, that you knew no sin, but you became sin for us. And thank you, dear God, that you want us to know you more each and every day. Help us to do that, Father. Help us to just learn, to understand, to more appreciate Jesus Christ each and every day of our lives. For it's in his name that we pray.